We try to play with great pace. We try to play with great pace. Ran a lot of pick and roll, pick and pop type actions. Oh, you'll see us play. Some people look at the guy next to him and say, what the hell was that shot? Hell, I could have been Gronk before Gronk was Gronk.
Welcome back once again to Coronations of Bangarangs and Daggers. I am your host, Patrick Gearhart, and with me on this wonderful podcast eve is Nate McHugh. Nate, how's your summer going?
It's a little warm out. I don't know if you knew that. It's warming up, and or it's plenty warm. Hopefully it rains tonight, but
looks
it was
like
a long
it's supposed to
July 4th weekend.
At least where I'm at. I'm about 2 hours west of you, and western part of the state looks dark and kind of scary. So, but we could use some rain.
Oh, you guys have a storm going over you right now?
I think so. At least when I last looked, it's dark. It should be sunny right now. We're recording this on a Monday night, and we hopefully get some thunderstorms later tonight, but not too much wind. We don't need wind. The root system is the roots of the corn stocks are not quite yet established, so we could have some major, major losses if anything bad comes through right now.
Well, geez. Yeah. I mean, you think we would have had enough rain by now, but I was saying when we were getting all that rain that at some point in July we're all gonna wish we had the rain. I don't know if we're not to that point yet, but
no, we're not bad. It's not bad. It's just kind of one of those. It's been about a week since we've had rain, or a few days, at least like 5 or 6 days, and we're kind of at a point where we could just use another drink. A lot of guys I know have put chemicals on their, I shouldn't say chemicals, fertilizer, whatever you want, on a lot of their crops, so they could use a good rain on top of it to help soak it in.
Well, good. Did you do anything, Patrick? Did you do anything for the 4th?
I went out and hung out around Lewis and Clark Lake on the Nebraska-South Dakota border with family and, just did the basic 4th of July stuff, grilled out, played outside. That's pretty much it. You basically chased a toddler around. That's pretty much my 4th of July. How about you?
Here in Murdoch, we actually, 4th of July is kind of a big deal. The parade usually... We have cars coming in from Lincoln and Omaha and the surrounding communities parked all throughout Murdoch. And I think we had more people here than probably we have ever had. I have no idea why, but in the morning we had a 4-person tractor pull. I kind of wrote about it a little bit. Somehow a family from New Zealand happened to be in town and they participated in the 4-person tractor pull. You know, it's a husband, wife, and 2 young kids, and we kind of helped them get off the line, but they did a pretty good job. And then normally we would hang around Murdoch, but it's a long day and they have stuff going on all day long, and so we actually went to some friend's house in Valley then just for the afternoon, and we came back and there's a fireworks show put on by some of the people who live here, and they just live off of donations.
They live off donations, huh?
So yeah,
one time
off of
a year
fireworks.
They do fireworks, and then they just live off donations.
No, all the donations from local businesses. You know that? No, they put on a heck of a show. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. We had a couple years ago; it was over an hour of just nonstop fireworks, and
so
that,
the town
it probably gets a little long by that
basically
point.
Supports the fire. The fireworks each year.
Yeah. Yeah. All those donations. And then this past year, they spout off a couple of the bigger ones, the bigger businesses that made the bigger donations. And so I guess it's a form of advertising. So that's good, but it's kind of cool. Yeah. People from all over that come down to Murdoch because we're right in the middle between Lincoln and Omaha, and we have a pretty good time.
Nice. And how long has that been going on?
The fireworks thing?
Yeah.
Actually, I can tell you. The first year they kind of did it was in 2011, because that's when we got our dog, and she was just a puppy, and she was laying on my lap during the fireworks show, and it was really, really loud, and my mom asked if the dog was deaf. And so I always remember that no, she slept the whole time. And to this day, if I were to bother her.
What kind of dog?
Say a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Oh, that's a hardy dog.
Yeah, most people don't know what
that
is.
That's a dog that can last. I mean, that's a hardy dog.
Yeah.
They a lot in the western states, deserts and what, the desert states and whatnot, you see a lot of them. Because, I mean, I think certain breeds of the Rhodesian or certain, I don't know how to describe it, they can kind of handle their own against, like, rattlesnakes and stuff, right?
Well, the long story, or what they say is they're bred to hunt lions in Africa.
There you go.
And so, you know, I don't know. You know, so I've read some people say that it's not completely true. Whatever it is, I just know that when I was actually watching Dogs 101 on Animal Planet and they came up, they said they deal really well with cold, extreme cold and extreme heat. And that sounds like Nebraska to me.
Yeah. So we should probably have more Rhodesian Ridgebacks out here.
If, you know, if people, you know, they're a great dog. They're protective.
They're good family dogs.
What?
They're good family dogs, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, very much so. There was a earlier this last summer, we had a bunch of kids playing in our yard, and my dog was just sitting on the porch, and her head popped up and looked over, and a dog had ventured into our yard, and she jumped and sprinted to get right between the kids and the dog, and that the other dog turned around and walked away. And, like, so, and I'm like, that's what I wanted out of a dog.
Everyone should have a dog like that.
Yeah. I just don't want to have a dog that I could punt off of a bridge, you know, from
a lap dog.
No. Oh yeah. You know, Anchorman, you know, when you punted. Do you remember, did you ever watch Anchorman?
Yeah. 15 years ago when it came out, I haven't seen it since.
No, it's just a scene where, whatever the name of the dog is. Now he punted him. So I always say, I just don't want to have a dog that I could punt. And so I'd rather have a cat, but that's just everyone.
Are you a cat person or more of a dog person?
Oh, definitely more of a dog person, because the cat I had growing up, I actually told this story this last weekend. I was in my parents' room on the bed. The cat walks up on the floor and I just look at it and I go back to the TV and it literally jumps on the bed, bites me and scratches me. Like, it attacked me for no reason. And so I would have no problem getting another cat, but, or a cat, but, no, I'm definitely a dog guy.
Yeah.
I assume you have many dogs.
I have two dogs. I grew up with dogs, hunting dogs. And now I have two pugs. And one of them's about,
those are puntable dogs.
They
I think,
are.
Right?
Well, one of them's a good size pug. He's about 40 some pounds. And
ooh, okay.
And he's not exactly fat either. He just got a haircut today too, but he's definitely not punnable, that's for sure. And the other one is, God, I don't know, 11, 12 years old. Partially blind, partially deaf. Yeah. Her name's Frankie. Barks randomly. Back legs don't exactly work too much.
Oh, poor dog.
Yeah, you'd feel bad for punting her. So, but that's what we have right now. And I think down the road at some point when our kids get older, we'll always have pugs, because my wife loves pugs and I can't take that away. And I like them too. But at some point, I'm sure we'll get a bit bigger dogs that, you know, when the kids get older and they can help take care of them. Because right now, our kids cannot take care of anything, let alone themselves. So, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm more of a dog person. Never big on cats. Never, I mean, I'm not anti-cat. But they just never really appeal to me.
You know, the benefit of the cat is you can leave for the weekend and you could put enough food there and water and, you know, make sure the litter box is clean and all that. You can leave for the weekend. You can't do that with a dog. You know, one of the downfalls of having a dog is, you know, you might have to have a friend come over, let the dog out, hang out with the dog, you know. You don't have to do that with cats. You know, cats probably don't want your help. And all
no,
the, you know,
no.
They start,
you'll leave. Yeah. You'll come back. They'll be like, "What happened?" They won't care.
Yeah. Oh, you were gone? Oh, I didn't know that. You know, they don't care. You know, and that's part of the, you know, maybe that's one of the benefits. But there are great cats that don't alienate our audience and say, you know, because I know I have some friends that just love their cats and they're awesome cats. But, you know, I just said when I grew up, I didn't have a very good cat. So,
yeah, I can see where that could kind of scar you.
Yeah, that I can still picture it. I can still look at my arm with the blood coming out. I mean, like, what happened here? I was literally watching TV and I get attacked by my cat. Like, the cat walks in the room, jumps on the bed and attacks me. I was even looking at her, paying attention to her. I'm like, what is going on?
What was her name?
Sadie.
Sadie. There's an Alkaline Trio song named Sadie. Probably was about that cat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure.
Oh, man. We are in the middle of summer. It's almost middle of July. There's not a whole lot going on outside of, you know, All-Star. We're right about the All-Star break, aren't we, for baseball?
Yep, I think Home Run Derby, I think, might be tonight, right?
It was today already, I think. It was earlier tonight, I think. But I didn't see who won it or anything, but I knew
But there are two former Nebraska basketball players playing in the NBA Summer League.
Yeah, the D-League.
Oh, yes. No, it's the Summer League.
Oh, it is a Summer League. You're right. I'm thinking ahead. Yeah, no. And they both did fairly well. James Palmer Jr. and Roby. They both
You know who we have to thank for that, right? Fred Hoiberg. He did it all. He got, you know, he's the reason why we have two current Nebraska basketball players playing in the NBA Summer League. I think he's the only one to thank for that.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for him coming this year, James Palmer Jr. would have, you know, if he would have came earlier, he would have had another year here. But luckily, Hoiberg got here right when Palmer graduated and became ineligible. So, you know, he gets credit there.
Yes.
And let's just be honest, he probably just straight up chased off Isaiah Roby, right?
Yeah. So it's all thanks to Hoiberg.
Yeah. This is Miles. Years of Miles. no, they did well. James Palmer Jr. had. He's the NBA Summer League with the Phoenix Suns. He scored 23 points in a win over the Knicks. He was 8 of 18 from the floor, shot 44%. And he had a good night. He had a really good night. And Isaiah Roby played for the Dallas Mavericks. He had 24 points.
No, 14, right?
I think in the first... Oh, sorry. I was reading the first two. I am out of it, man. I am out of it. That was for the entire weekend. He had 14 points. He had 7 rebounds, shot over 50% from the floor. He also injured his fingers, but we're not quite sure what happened yet. Went out of the game, came back in, but still did perfectly fine. Played 53 minutes total this weekend. They both had good games, very good games. In fact, you saw a little bit of Palmer, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't even know it. I turned on the NBA Summer League last night, and this guy with this awkward jump shot wearing the number 60 hits a three.
Awkward jump shot? That's not Palmer.
What?
Awkward jump shot? That's not
Palmer. Oh, I know, right? You know, that's the thing. He must have shot a whole bunch. He must have spent a lot of time in the gym to be able to make, you know, the percentage that he does with that awkward jump shot.
He makes it
work. Even more awkward because, you know, numbers are important. You know, if you're wearing the number 60, there's probably isn't much on the basketball floor you can do that does not look awkward. You know, yeah, it's he needs like a number in the 20s, you know, 40s maybe. That's still kind of, you know, but I didn't know it was him. And then I pulled up Twitter like a minute or two later, and someone already had a clip on there. I think the Phoenix Suns tweeted that out, and I was like, oh, that's James Palmer Jr. You know, that's cool. I will admit, in the past, when people have asked me, I said, I think that Isaiah Roby is going to have a much better NBA career than James Palmer Jr. And I'm just watching him last night. He's not playing against scrubs. You know, a couple of the Knicks players were actual rotation players. Last year.
That's not saying months considering they were the Knicks.
No,
but,
no.
But nonetheless.
Not very good. But they're still NBA players.
Yeah,
and
they still saw the court.
And the thing that you know, James JPJ, you know, he's not the most athletic guy. He's just athletic enough, but he can score. And you saw that last night. And unfortunately, I think part of that is, you know, there's not a lot of, I doubt there's a lot of advanced scouting for these NBA Summer League games. I assume there's some. They might send him out and say, by the way, this number 60, he's drive first, which I think he is a drive first player. And so that's why they went under a whole bunch of screens. And I think it was Jacob Padilla's article today in Hail Varsity had all the clips of his three-pointers he hit. And in every one, the defender went under the screen. And that's what they kept on doing. And so you wonder if they just were trying to protect the drive, or I'm not sure.
You know, at some point, I think you might film and realize that's the way you shut him down.
I know. But he hits him. And so maybe the next time
he's learned to hit him. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, I hope we'll see where it goes from here. But because now he's, you know, but he was 4 for 7 from the 3-point line, and now the next game he plays, I assume they're probably gonna go over the top of the screen. And so you'll see what he does then. Which, you know, might be different for him because, you know, NBA teams are going to be able to play a lot more complex defenses, you know, as far as how they, you know, defend the ball screens, you know, however they want to, you know, trap or kind of soft help or hard help. So I'm interested to see. I want him to do really well because I think he could score. I don't know if his jump shots can be consistent enough, but if he can hit those shots, then he's probably gonna find a spot in an NBA team.
If he can upgrade his defense too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, who knows how much defense is being played in these, and maybe that's why he's looking good. But I mean, that Twitter account, I mean, they're all over him. And you know, the Phoenix Suns is actually probably one of the worst, you know, run franchises in the NBA right now. So maybe he can
right up next to the Knicks.
Yeah, maybe he could go or help you go play to Dallas, you know, and then him and Roby could hang out. But
together again.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So I have a question for you, Patrick. So if you were to bet right now, you had $100, who do you think is going to have a better NBA career, Palmer or Isaiah Roby?
I say as long as he stays healthy, Roby.
Yeah.
that's just me. I really do think Roby will have a better shot. I question Palmer's drive a lot. And I question, well, another thing, like you said, he's not the most athletic. He pushes it, and he makes things happen at times. And he's got some attributes, I think, you know, that other players don't have. But as a complete player like they're going to need in the NBA, I don't think he's it. And I think he's going to struggle with that for foreseeable future until he can get over that hump. And I think a lot of it's mental. Roby, on the other hand, I think he's got the drive and I think he's got the skill set in the right system to flourish. And Dallas very well could be that system. Dallas is not one of those teams. They're not going to throw somebody out there just to throw them out there because they need a warm body on the court. They like to play players who are ready to play. And I think once Roby's ready, then they'll push him up. He won't get thrown out there early. But that's just me.
Well,
how about you? Which one do you think?
Oh, I think, you know, after watching last night, you know, with Skip Bayless, I'm not a Skip Bayless guy, but he'd always say with a prisoner of the moment or something. But just watching him play against these other NBA players, he looks like he belongs. And if he can get buckets, he can get buckets.
He's
and
got the size. He's got the NBA size. There's no question about that. Like Roby could use some weight to put on.
Yes, and I think
but you need more than size.
And he needs to be more aggressive. Because that's the thing. In the NBA, if you go under, if you're a decent shooter and they go under on the ball screen, you got to shoot it. And, you know, and that's what Palmer did last night. And he's going to say, hey, no, because he has to do that in order to, he needs to get a contract. And it's a big night for him. And I'm glad because he's a great player for us. And even though he was the more, he had more college accolades, I always thought Isaiah Roby is going to be the better NBA player. And I still think that, but it'd be pretty cool if they both ended up, you know, getting on rosters and having a long NBA career. You know, you never really know.
No, that'd be huge. If they could both, if they could both develop to the point to where they would have long NBA careers, that would do a lot for not just themselves, but for the Nebraska program, showing that Nebraska can pump out NBA players, you know, once every 20 years.
Oh, that's such an embarrassing stat.
We're
it
not
really
the only
is.
Ones. We're not the only ones.
But it's like, oh, Weber State has probably pumped out more, you know, NBA players in the past 15, 20 years than Nebraska. I mean, let's just say the past 10 years. I bet they've pumped out two or three, you know.
They probably have.
When I was kind of trying to think about tonight, it reminded me because I was thinking about the scouting because I thought, oh, they probably didn't scout him and that has something to do with why he played so well. But you could say the same thing about all the other players playing there then. And he still played well, you know, better than, you know, he outplayed R.J. Barrett, who's number three pick in the NBA draft. R.J. Barrett looks lost. Anyways, but, you know, it's talking about scouting and it reminded me of an article from The Athletic that I read a while back about just these advanced scouts, and they go from, you know, from the, up to about 150 games. They go to every year or every season road games, and they just sit as close as they can to the coaches, and they just stare at the coaches, and then they go watch play. You know, and so one of the best things that I got out of that was Steve Kerr knowing that, you know. Everyone's watching his every move, his hands, you know, does he rub the, it's almost like a catcher in baseball or, you know, does he rub his tie and all that? I guess he has a play call from, that he's brought from, Phil Jackson. And when something he thinks maybe didn't go right, or he'll just make it up. The play call is actually what the F. And, he like throws his arms up in the air and goes, what the, you know, and that's a play call. And I thought that's just great. You know, so who knows what else they're doing out there? What's a play call just to try to disguise it from the other advanced scouts. But I just thought it's reminded me of that. And I thought some people would find that interesting.
Just to mess with their heads.
Yes. And it's funny that they know, everyone knows that those are the scouts and they said they're the computers. And so that's, yeah, I thought that's great. That's just great.
You should do that next year.
I would love to be an advanced scout for 1 year, maybe, because you're not going to see your family. And actually, maybe when my kids were older and maybe in college or something, because, I mean, that's a lot of games, a lot of hotel rooms, but people love it. I don't know. It's, you're alone all the time. You're going to gyms. Or, you know, basketball, you know, gyms where people don't want you there, you know, but that's for some people.
You stay there close to the court and you keep an eye on them.
I know, but it's like you can't even enjoy the game because
it's almost
kind of
creepy.
Coach. What?
It's almost kind of creepy.
They say that you're like stalking the coaches. So
versus stalking players.
Yeah, that's creepy too.
Which starts in like junior high now.
Oh, that's a whole other subject.
Yeah. Recruiting's weird.
Very weird.
Recruiting's weird.
You have to do it. Yeah, I mean,
you have
Tim
no
Miles
choice
got
but to
Roby.
Do it.
What?
You have no choice but to do it.
Oh, I know. Tim Miles got Roby when he's 15. I think that's pretty young.
I think that, yeah, that's heck of hella young. There goes our clean label. No, you're right. You're right. It's really young. It's way too young. These guys are barely developed, and when they develop early, they don't always, you know, keep developing.
Oh yeah, they stop growing.
Yeah.
I mean, then all of a sudden these big guys are, everyone's catching up to them, and they're not as skilled, and they have not had to work hard because they're so much bigger than everybody else, and then everyone catches up. And all of a sudden, you know, Duke's no longer interested in you, and you're playing intramurals at University of Nebraska.
Wah, wah, wah.
That's about all I got on the summer league, but, you know, unless you got other thoughts.
No, I think you're right. I mean, they both, like I said before, they both had really good games. They both offensively had very nice stats. I'm with you. I don't think summer league is where you're going to see a whole lot of defense and a lot of these guys pushing and, you know, proving themselves on defense, considering, well, the NBA does not do a very good job with that in the first place.
Oh, so, buddy, we should have we should have a debate about that sometime.
Happily.
I have one name, Adam Morrison. That's all I'm going to say. We can keep on going, but sorry.
Just interrupt. One? You don't have like half a team?
No. My example that I use in this debate is Adam Morrison as far as whether the NBA plays defense during the regular season. Anyways, sorry.
All right, we'll come back to another time. So in this episode, we are going to do, just like we did last week with our top five people we'd like to have dinner with, this week we're going to do a top five, and it's top five presidents. So everybody out there, think of all your favorite presidents. Who would you pick as your top five in the United States? We're not talking president of Germany, chancellor, or whatever, or Japan, China, Great Britain, Canada, prime minister, whatever. We're talking the United States here, so we all should know these pretty well, and we want to hear what your top five favorite presidents are. So please come put them in the comments at Coronation. Tweet them at us at Bangs and Dags on Twitter, and Nate. Give us your first one.
Okay, so I want everyone to know, and I'm not sure about what you're I'm staying away from the political reasons why. So a couple of these guys I actually have no clue about their politics, but
they could be straight up racist.
Yeah, you know, they really could. I hope not. Okay, we'll see.
Well, by today's standards, it's going to be tough after a certain.
I was going to say Thomas Jefferson had slaves, right? So there you go. But
yeah, and things got weird.
Also, just based off of one thing, the Louisiana Purchase.
Ooh.
Yeah, they you know, according to Wikipedia today, at least, is $15 million. And oh crap, I should have wrote it down. We all understand how much land there was.
It's like 2/3 of the United States.
What?
It's like 2/3 of the United States or something before Alaska. Oh, yeah. Of course. I'm not the 48. 2/3 of the continuous 48 states.
Oh, here we go. Because I did the calculation on my computer or my calculator here. 530 million acres. I believe that's what it was. Anyways. That comes out to $35.33 an acre. That's a pretty good deal.
It's dirt cheap.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, that's
cheaper than dry land, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, just for that reason, I mean, he's got to be on my list, top five, you know. Don't worry about any of the other things he's ever done. No, it's the Louisiana Purchase for me. What do you think? What's your next, or what's your first?
He's a good one.
Mine aren't in any order, but.
Mine aren't in any order either. So my first is Abraham Lincoln, mainly because my middle name is Lincoln.
Perfect.
And I'm a fifth generation of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'd go into more
so
detail
why did it start,
from
you know?
Way back in the day, but that'd be getting political, and we don't want to do that because we've got some snowflakes out there who don't like to mix politics with sports. So we won't touch on that. But yeah, no, Abraham Lincoln's my number one, my first one. He definitely saw the country through some pretty turbulent times, helped bring it together, rightfully so. You know, it was a tough time back in the 1850s and 1860s, and he, you know, he did what he could. He was probably pushed through the ringer more so than probably most presidents. And from everything I read, from what I understand, he probably took it a little bit harder than a lot of them would. He genuinely cared about this country, and he really, really put a lot of time and effort into what he thought was right. So, yeah, yeah, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about him that maybe not a lot of people know is that he lost a bunch of elections leading up to that.
Oh,
I want to say it was like 5 elections, not for president, but, you know, for, you know, town bookkeeper. No, no, not that. But, you know, maybe state senator.
Weed
control. So he wasn't successful his entire life. So some people show that or use that as an example of, I guess, his persistence.
Yeah,
I guess
you can make
say.
Anything happen.
So
make anything happen. No, he was good.
Yes.
He was good. So who's your next one?
Okay. Well, since I just said persistence, Calvin Coolidge.
Ooh, I liked him too.
Yeah, he
highly underrated.
Yep. Known as Silent Cal, I guess. I learned today he was born he is the only president who was ever born on Independence Day. And but the reason why I pick him, since we're not doing politics, is when I went to Creighton, I was at Creighton Law, and we go work out, or not we, but whenever I would go work out at the main rec area, walking out of the locker room, there's a long quote from Calvin Coolidge on persistence. And I don't have it in front of me, but pretty much it's saying that persistence is more important than genius or talent or anything, and that persistence wins the day in the end. So that's why, you know, that's what made me look him up and why I know more about it now than I used to, is just that quote I saw every time. So that's why I went to Calvin Coolidge.
Nice. No, Calvin Coolidge was a good one. I think he's highly overrated, and maybe that's for another podcast. Maybe we should do a separate podcast where we describe these a little
bit more.
You mean
underrated?
Underrated. I apologize.
Yeah.
It's late.
Highly overrated.
He's highly overrated.
Like, no one knows about
him. There's some presidents we could talk about who are highly overrated. But no, he was highly underrated, if you ask me. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was president during the 1920s, leading right up to the Great Depression, correct?
Yep. And I think I know what you're saying, but
yeah. He and I think that kind of overshadowed a lot of good things that he did, or that could have been done if some things outside of his control didn't happen. So anyway, I should probably give you my second, huh?
Yeah.
We're going to go Teddy Roosevelt. Pretty popular one. And I basically picked him because he, out of all the presidents, seemed to really enjoy life. He loved being outdoors. I love being outdoors. He loved going, you know, to the parks. He helped create our national park system, which I won't get too much into because that could get a little political. But he did a very, very good job when it came to conservation and ecology and the future of the United States in terms of its outdoor areas. He seemed to enjoy sports. A lot of what he did for football is why we still have the sport, back when it was basically, you know, Ivy League kids beating the crap out of each other to where, you know, they died. Multiple deaths happened on the football field, on the gridiron, back before he kind of helped shape the sport, which we now know today. He did everything. He really did everything, and that's why I picked him as one of my top 5.
Yeah, he's actually on my list too, and this is only one reason. I did a report on him, and I don't remember what grade, but I might have been the last time I used an encyclopedia for a report, and that's why I picked him. That's
nice.
It.
I've actually got a cutout of him sitting behind me right now.
Are you at home or are you at work?
I'm at home in my basement. It's right next to where my guitar amps are. I've got one standing right behind it. When I worked for a think tank back in the day, briefly, I picked it up for my office and took it with me after I left. And yeah, no, it still sits right back there, right behind me, constantly looking at me, telling me when I'm doing the wrong chords.
He is a big rock music fan, I assume. So.
I would only guess. I would only guess. So that was your third one, right?
Yes.
All right. My third is another kind of simple one. It is George Washington. And I picked him not just because he was a father of our, you know, quote unquote father of our country, But he, I picked him because of kind of how he treated his role as president of the United States. He was very cautious. He did not want to overstep his bounds, and he did not want to abuse the power that he had. And I think he kept that all the way through his tenure as president. And I think a lot of presidents over the past next 200 some years probably should have paid more attention to that part of the office. Yeah, that's why I picked George.
Very good. Oh, I guess the only thing I have a thought about George Washington is my aunt and uncle, they live in Virginia, and they actually live on what used to be his land. And they, you know, they drive by it every day going to work. And I'm pretty sure he used to go into Washington every day. That's a long trip, I assume, back then by
now it's
horse.
Easy.
What?
Now it's not a hard trip at all.
No, I know, but I remember, like, man, how long would that take? Every day. So, my fourth, I'm looking forward to my fifth, so I have a bad joke. Number four, William Howard Taft. No reason. It's because he's the only person who's ever been both president and chief justice of the Supreme Court. And I think that's quite an accomplishment. One of the things I learned when I was in D.C. is that everyone pictures the Supreme Court where it is now, and it's that bit, you know, that large building. Well, what a lot of people don't know is that it used to be under the Senate or the center of the House, I remember. But like in this dark room, you know, they have, you know, the candles and all that. It's like, hey, you know, back then they're like, hey, let's push the Supreme Court over here in the corner, you know. And at some point they made their way out. But I thought, you know, that's why I picked him.
You know what my fourth one is? Also Taft.
Wow.
Do you know why?
Because of a bath?
Yep. Because he got there stuck in a bathtub. He was quite a large fellow. And while he was president, he got stuck in the bathtub. To me, that's just a great story. How was your term as president? Great. They had to bring in four horses to pull me out of a bathtub.
Oh, man.
All of a sudden, you just pull them out and you just hear this loud suction.
Oh, man.
And you think the scandals nowadays are absurd.
Yeah, just thinking if they had to pull Trump out of a bathtub, or, you know, Obama back then.
Oh my God,
Obama would have never got stuck in a bathtub, but
he's pull him out of the drain.
Yeah, like his hand got stuck in the drain or something. You know, I guess the closest thing might be George W. Bush, but kind of choking on the peanuts or whatever. Or didn't he choke?
I think he did. I think he choked on a pretzel.
Oh, a pretzel, yeah. So that might
or his
be
dad. His
thing.
His dad got sick in Japan, didn't he?
Threw, yeah,
up
I don't
at,
know.
Threw up at a state dinner.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bill Clinton had that cigar. Anyway, no, that's a good one. What's your fifth one?
Okay. Herbert Hoover. Okay.
So the vacuum guy?
What?
The vacuum guy?
Okay. Okay, so, yeah, because he must have made some.
I really
great
threw you. I apologize.
No. I'm just trying not to laugh while I'm talking. And so, he obviously made some great vacuums. You know why? Probably because he sucked. What?
He wasn't the best.
No, he could have been great. I have no freaking clue.
He was
but I
just
thought,
a bad time.
I just wanted to use that joke because he sucked. You know, it's kind of like the Nebraska joke. But why is it so windy in Nebraska? Because Iowa blows, you know.
And Colorado sucks. Joke.
Yeah, Colorado sucks and Iowa blows.
There you go. There's a t-shirt out there with that on there somewhere. Probably a Triple B printing. Lincoln, Nebraska's
you know,
own.
I'm surprised that's not a Triple B print shirt.
They've got so many. Have you ever gone through theirs?
I was at a farmer's market in Lincoln about a month ago, and I walked through there. Yeah. He has more on his website than he did there, which makes sense.
You could spend like a good hour or two just going through all the t-shirts. He just, anything that comes in his mind, he just makes. He made a Newman Grove one.
I know. I think that's your fault, right?
Yeah, it's totally my fault. Totally my fault. And afterwards, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I got to buy him now. So
yeah, you got to spend the money now. That's for sure.
If you want a Newman Grove shirt, go to Triple B Printing. It's good. It's Seinfeld-esque, and you can use your imagination. So Hoover's your last one, huh?
Yeah.
All right, my fifth one, my final one, is Van Buren. Because nobody remembers that he was president outside of his name being Van Buren.
I think there was a string of like four or five presidents that if you ask Americans today, and they're all in a row, you know, to name all the presidents, that none of them would get picked.
Yeah, and they were all roughly like 1830s, 40s through probably up to the Civil War.
Yes. Yep.
You know, I mean, you had Pierce in there. You had a couple of minor, you know, more popular ones, but you know, there was Van Buren, old crazy dude, had an awesome hairdo. He was 1837 to 41. He was president. He was a Whig party member, which is a precursor to the Republican Party. Not that that matters right now. But, New York guy, Dutch. Nobody remembers who he was.
So what was your five then?
Say it again. Five. Okay. Yeah. My five were Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Martin Van Buren, and I erased it.
Howard Taft.
Taft. Yep, there we go.
Oh, and Theo Roosevelt.
Yeah,
and
Lincoln, Teddy. Roosevelt, Washington, Taft, and Van Buren. And who were yours?
Calvin Coolidge, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, Howard Taft, and Herbert Hoover, because he sucks. That's why he is so good at the vacuums. I told my wife I was going to have a terrible joke, and we'll see what she thinks when she listens.
You made her proud, I think. I would be disappointed if she was not disappointed. No, so that's it, our top five. So, folks, at home, who are your top five presidents? If you noticed, we had a little fun with ours. Were these people that if we were, you know, put down public square, you know, top five presidents, your legacy is based upon them. I don't think many of these would be on there. Some of them might be, but, you know, just for the heck of it, presidents that you like for no reason other than you like them, let us know at Coronation and on our Twitter at Bangs and Dangs. You can tweet them straight at us at Patrick Gearhart. And what's your Twitter account?
NMcHugh85.
There you go.
Just search for Nate McHugh. Yeah, I need to get a different handle, but
you can do that now. Remember back in the day where you couldn't change it?
I probably should. I don't like change as far as that stuff goes, because then I probably have to type in a different username right every time.
Probably. Whatever. Either way.
I sound like an old guy, don't I?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, considering how Coronation's been lately, you're par for the course.
This is true.
Look forward to the stuff coming out in the future. Yeah.
You know?
That's all I've got. Woo, it's been a fun one.
Hey, actually, another thing we should ask them, if they have other top five lists, you know, we have ideas.
Oh, yeah.
But if anyone's got some pretty creative, I think that'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, let us know top five. We've talked about top five. We still need to do like a top five hot sauce at some point.
Yes, yes.
Well, we should probably do, we talked about doing a top five restaurants in Nebraska.
Yes.
Which could be really fun. We could really be, I got a feeling, you and I are small town boys, so we're probably going to be real big homers when it comes to that.
Yes, one of mine is going to be about 4 miles to the north. So
does it have one heck of a festival?
Yes, it does.
Oh, it's a good place. Nope, I'd have to agree with you on that one. So yeah, let us know. Let us know. Reach out to us, folks. We want interaction. We're not quite as fancy as Five Heart, who has their own phone number, which I don't know. Do people actually use that?
I called it once, I left an answer. They had no idea it was me.
Ooh, they answered you.
Yes, but I said something about Harrison Beck. Who's your favorite quarterback or something? I said Harrison Beck.
Have you seen Harrison Beck's new Twitter account?
Yeah, he's like, he's a chef.
He's
now
a chef.
Oh, man.
It's awesome. It's like him cooking food and eating food.
It is almost, what, 45 minutes into this, and we have, it's our first football reference.
I know. This will lead in great to the Friday episode of Five Heart Podcast, who only deal with football.
And well, you know, I hope to talk about Harrison Beck.
We should, try to get Harrison Beck on, not to talk about sports, but to talk about food.
Oh, man.
It'd be a good episode.
I don't know if we could, keep him, you know. I know you're not going to keep him on topic, but it's like, all right, Harrison, you know.
We'll piss him off. Don't get me wrong.
And then he'll block us like he blocked the Comcast.
That was fun. But he unblocked him, so they're all good.
Well, unless you have anything else, that's all I got.
That's all I got, man. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.